This week's parsha is Parshas Vayeshev, and it's also the second day of Hanukkah. Parshas Vayeshev Hanukkah, which is unusual, doesn't happen every year. Usually, Hanukkah is associated with Parshas Mikra. It's next week's parsha. So, the Parshas Vayeshev, the storyline, of course, is the story of Yosef, who is first, the Torah tells us, is given favoritism treatment by Yaakov. Yaakov gives Yosef ksonis pasim. The Rashi tells us ksonis pasim means a cloak made out of expensive fabric to show that Yosef is more beloved, more special Yosef. And we also, of course, have the rest of the parsha where Yosef is sold into slavery by his brothers. And he eventually ends up in Mitzrayim in Egypt. This week's parsha, he's still in slavery. It's not until next week's parsha that he, Parshas Mikra, it's next week that he gets out of slavery, and he interprets the dreams, that Paro's dreams, and is elevated to the position of viceroy of Egypt. But in this week's parsha, it would seem that it's a time of difficulty. It does start on a high note. The fact that Yaakov is Vayeshev Yaakov. Yaakov is living in Israel peacefully. And the fact, of course, is that Yaakov did live in peacefully in Israel for a few years. That's the very, very beginning of the Parsha. But right away, it does go into the story of Yosef and Yosef's abduction, selling and being sold into slavery. And of course, at the same time, Yaakov's anguish, Yaakov's terrible lack of peace of mind and terrible suffering, not knowing what happened to his son Yosef. Yosef is a captive, abducted, a hostage in a certain way. Yaakov, deep in his heart, believes he's still alive. Therefore, the Torah tells us that he doesn't accept any comforting from his family. Rashi explains to us that when a person passes away, there is some kind of spiritual something that happens, and the family members eventually make peace. It's very difficult, but they eventually make peace. But if a person is still alive and you think that they passed away, somehow the family members are still connected and never fully can make peace, never fully come back to themselves. And that's what happened with Yaakov. So it would seem that this week's Parsha is not on the high notes, difficult. At the same time, we have, of course, Hanukkah, which is amazing miracles, amazing stuff. So therefore, it must be, like every Parsha, that this Parsha also has a lot of wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, uplifting messages. And in fact, it does. The story of Yosef is the story of the Jew. And we are called the Jewish nation. We are compared to Yosef specifically. And we're also compared to Yehuda. Yosef and Yehuda are two aspects of the Jewish nation. The Yehuda aspect is the Mashiach aspect. The Yosef aspect is the struggling aspect, when we are in a state of confinement and we rise out of that confinement and we are able to remake our surroundings, our situation, into a situation of not only comfort, but in fact, holiness and in fact, positivity. And that's exactly what happened with Yosef. So therefore, the real story of this week's Parsha is not the superficial story of Yosef having trouble with his brothers, being sold into slavery, once he's sold into slavery, the wife of Potiphar, his master's wife, gives him further tsaris and puts him into jail. It's not enough, he's a slave, but now he has to go into jail. But the Torah tells us throughout the Parsha, and in fact, towards the end of the Parsha, it gets even more explicit, that wherever Yosef went, Hashem matzliach biyado, Hashem gave him success. And therefore, what this parsha really teaches us is that yes, we have troubles, yes, we have challenges, yes, we have obstacles, but Hashem at the same time gives us the strength, the knowledge, the seichel, the knowledge, the understanding to turn over and to convert the very situation that we're in, to take that exact situation and to find out what the positivity is, and to in fact become stronger, better, rise out from that specific situation. If Yosef would not have been sold into slavery, and he tells this to the brothers later on, he would never have had this interaction with the butler and the baker at the end of the parsha. He would never have interpreted their dreams. He would never have ended up in Egypt in general. If he wouldn't have, he would have stayed in Israel. So from the tsaris itself, it's not that, in other words, another way to say it is, it's not that we're looking to get rid of the tsaris because the tsaris is bad. That's not the message of the parsha. The message of the parsha is that tsaris itself becomes a source of blessing and a source of growth. Sometimes we don't see it, and sometimes it takes a while, but that itself becomes the source of blessing. There is a beautiful pasuk in Tehillim, which you may be familiar with, one of the famous chapters of Tehillim. It says, "Mimamakim kerasicha Hashem, from the depths I have called to you." And the interpretation on that pasuk is that the fact that we're put into the depths itself, that itself becomes a mechanism for growth and for blessing and for a greater result than we had before from the tsaris itself. So what is that blessing in our life today? Obviously, we each have our own tsaris. We each have our own, in Yiddish we say our own pekel, our own package that we're carrying. So hopefully not too heavy, hopefully not too big, but for everybody has something that is pushing us to grow, pushing us to deepen our connection, our faith in Hashem, our mitzvah observance. Particularly, the story of Hanukkah is the story of the Jewish recognition that the essence is what's important. The outside, the shell, is simply a vehicle. The essence is what it's all about. So the miracle of Hanukkah celebrates essentially two things. The first thing that the miracle of Hanukkah celebrates is the victory over the Syrian Greeks. And we say this in the Al Hanisim prayer that we add to the Shemona Esrei and to the benching. The Al Hanisim prayer clearly lays out exactly what we're grateful and thankful for. It says that, "Thank you, Hashem, for the great miracles that you've done, that you've taken, the mighty, the multiplicity, the larger group, the more powerful group apparently, and the weaker, the fewer, have won over the more powerful, over the larger group. Yeah, you gave me'atim rabim biad." This is exactly what it says. Rabim biad me'atim. You gave over you gave victory to the me'atim, to those who are fewer in number, and you made them victorious over the ones who were much larger, the larger group. You gave victory to the weaker and over the stronger. And this is the story of Hanukkah. So this is the first miracle of Hanukkah. Having said that, we only celebrate that miracle in the Al Hanisim, in our davening. It's not an only, it's big, it's a, you know, it's an addition to the davening, but there is no practice that we celebrate on Hanukkah that is remembrance of the victory of the war. One would think that the victory of Hanukkah should be the celebration, in other words, the celebratory practices on Hanukkah should be all about the victory over the war. That's what the people were consumed with. The war took over 3 years. We know from history, from Josephus, took a long time. It was a terrible war. Many Jews died in battle, and it was a matter of life and death. Until that happened, the Syrian Greeks had issued a decree that the Jews were not allowed to keep Shabbos. They were not allowed to have Bris Milah, circumcision. They were not allowed to They were not allowed to keep Rosh Chodesh. I'm busy now. You have to come back in a few minutes. What?
Who's talking?
I don't know. She went. She's going to be back soon.
What she wants?
Yeah. And my little grandson. So was it really? It was a life and death situation. The Syrian Greeks were literally killing Jews for keeping Shabbos and Bris Milah and Jewish other Jewish practices. And the war was a very, very difficult process. As I mentioned, it took over 3 years, with a lot of loss of life on the part of the Jews, unfortunately. So one would think that the practices of Hanukkah, the celebration of the miracle of Hanukkah, the story of Hanukkah would be associated with that somehow. How do you celebrate? Make a big Suda, make a big feast. Have a physical feast, the same way we have a physical feast on Purim. The same way one of the mitzvahs, one of the four Purim mitzvahs actually is to have a feast, to have a big meal. It should be also a mitzvah on Hanukkah. So it turns out that the Rambam says in a couple of words that there's also some kind of a of an additional meritorious practice to have you may mishta, to have a feast, but that's not one of the mitzvahs. What is the mitzvah of Hanukkah? To light the menorah. So that's the second miracle. The second miracle is that once they won the battle, once they won the war, then they the Jews came back into the Beis HaMikdash and they found one flask of olive oil that had been not contaminated by the Syrian Greeks. There were other olive oil, plenty of oil, but it was all contaminated. It was all tame. It was impure. The Greeks had contaminated the oil. They found one flask that still had the seal of the Kohen Gadol, which means that it had not been contaminated and they were able to use it in the menorah. And they used that and it lasted for 8 days. And that's why we have 8 days. And that's the miracle of lighting the menorah. Everybody knows light the menorah. Where is the celebration and why isn't the celebration of the war more ingrained in our practices? And I mentioned Rambam does mention that there is a meritorious practice and a concept of having extra food and so on at your meals to celebrate the victory of the war. But that is not clearly the general mitzvah practice, although, of course, we have Hanukkah parties, but it's not the same. It's not the same. As I said, on Purim, there's a mitzvah to have a party. Seudas Purim is a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to have a Seudah feast on Hanukkah. The mitzvah is to light the menorah. And the reason is because the Chachamim, the sages that enacted the miracle of the celebration of Hanukkah, wanted to underscore for us that the whole fight, yeah, it's true they had a fight, a real war for a long time. And it's true, it was in a real, real physical battle. But the battle was about spirituality. The battle was about the essence, the oil. The battle was about what is the nature of the Jew? Is the Jew the same as everybody else? And therefore, we should look the same. We should not have a bris. We should have the same days of rest. We should have the same calendar. Or is the Jew, in fact, different? And that's why the Syrian Greeks attacked specifically these practices. Having a different calendar sets us apart. Having a bris makes us look different. And they tell stories where parents were very, very, during the Holocaust and other times of Jewish history, parents were very, very afraid to give their male, obviously the male sons, to give their children a bris, their kid, their sons a bris, because that would set them apart as Jews. And the non-Jewish world, whether it was the Holocaust more recently or further back in history, we're looking to see who's Jewish and who's not, and that's something that you can't escape from. It's a declaration. It's a sign that you have strong faith, as parents doing it to your sons or as the individuals themselves. This is the declaration that you're different. And the Syrian Greeks who worship the body—that's all they worship—said, "Don't mutilate the body. Don't change the body. The body is the body." Don't set yourself apart. And of course, that's Shabbos, and same thing. Don't have a special day. Don't have a special calendar. Don't look different. So the war was all about the unique nature of the Jews, the essence, the oil, what's deep inside of us. That's what oil is. Oil is, you can take almost anything and extract oil from it. It's the essence of the thing itself. And that is what the miracle is about. And that's the deeper message also of this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayeshev. Yosef was, it's true that Yosef was taken out of his element. He was taken out of Israel and he was sold into slavery. But when he came down to Egypt, wherever Yosef went, he remained Yosef. Not only did Yosef remain Yosef, meaning he didn't assimilate, but he changed his environment. Everybody around him started acting differently. Everybody knew, to the extent where we read, and this is already next week's parsha, it's true, we read that when the butler tells Paro, there was a kid with us in prison, he doesn't say there was a kid. He says there was a Jewish kid in prison. Yosef could have looked like everybody else. I'm sure it exposed him to ridicule being different. In prison, the last thing you want to do is be different and stand out. But in prison, Yosef was Na'ar Ivri. He was a Jewish kid. We are all, in a certain sense, in prison. What the prison are we in? We're in Golos. We're in exile. And the message of this week's Parsha and the message of Hanukkah is we are supposed to reach deep inside of ourselves, into our own essence, recognize that the fight that the Maccabees had against the Syrian Greeks is the same fight that we're having today. We are different. Doesn't mean that we should, feel somehow less. It doesn't mean that we should somehow, not be involved in the world itself, but we should be involved in a Jewish way. We are different. We are Jews. And unfortunately, when we tend to forget that message, because that's what happens, a certain period of time goes by, and we slowly, slowly slip back into the mainstream. Then the mainstream wakes us up and gives us sometimes a tap on the shoulder and sometimes, as they say, a swift kick in the pants, unfortunately, and wakes us up and says, "You guys are different. You're not the same as us." And then we need to wake up. And then Hashem makes us miracles, and then we have additional holidays to celebrate. So that's the silver lining there. But the message, therefore, of Parshas Vayeshev was we have to be like a Yosef. We have to recognize that no matter what the situation is, it not only can we use the very situation that we think is dragging us down, we can elevate and become greater and better from that itself. That's the Yosef power. But we also have the power of Hanukkah to find that energy already inside of ourselves and to be able to reach inside of ourselves. And like oil, this is another beautiful message concerning olive oil. Oil always rises to the surface. Oil does not mix with water. You can take the smallest drop of oil and put it into the largest quantity of water, give it enough time, and it will rise to the surface. And if you don't believe me, that's what happens in a bad way, of course, with the tanker spills and all kinds of stuff. So we see in the ocean, big ocean, but what happens to the oil? Rises to the surface. And that's what happens. And it causes problems there, but it does rise to the surface. The Jew always rises to the surface. The Jew never remains submerged. And the reason we never remain submerged, we never remain combined and mixed with the rest of the whichever community we're in, and no matter what the time frame was, is because of our neshama, because we have this oil, because we, so therefore, this week's parsha and this holiday of Hanukkah gives us the power to be able to reach inside of ourselves and to live our lives that way. I wish each of you and everybody wonderful, happy Hanukkah and a good Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayeshev. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, the Parshas Vayeshev is, Vayeshev means to dwell peacefully, tranquilly, securely, and safely. That's what Vayeshev means. Rashi tells us the beginning of the parsha, Bikesh Yaakov leishev bishalva. Vayeshev Yaakov lived in the land of Canaan. Rashi translates this, Yaakov was intending to live bishalva. Shalva is a Hebrew word that means tranquilly, with tranquility, with peace of mind, without worries, without concerns, without any kind of tsaris. And then, unfortunately, Hashem, Rashi says to him, you still have work to do. You still have to go down to Egypt. Don't get too comfortable. Even though you're in Israel, it's true, but there's still a prophecy to be fulfilled that was given to Abraham, that your children are going to be slaves in a foreign land and you still have sparks of energy to elevate in Egypt. But at any rate, the parsha is called Vayeshev, and therefore the message of the week is we have the capacity and the blessing from Hashem right away to have tranquility in our lives. And of course, we're unfortunately, we're still fighting the battles in Israel, but we are looking for miracles. And I'm sure you must have all seen the Facebook and the WhatsApp. Yeah, everybody's sharing the small miracles where the soldiers are saying that there was this and that and so on. And I saw, and then this happened miraculously. And then the story with the tunnel entrances right underneath the encampment of the IDF, and they moved, and an hour or two later, the whole thing blew up. Had they been there an hour or two earlier, God forbid, who knows what would have happened. You must have seen that. I saw interviews about from the surgeons, and even soldiers who got shot. These surgeons are saying they don't understand how it is that the bullets missed the vital arteries. And so unfortunately, it's still too much tzaras, you know, but there are small miracles, and we're hoping that the small miracles, we're hoping and praying, turn into the true miracle of Hanukkah. And Hanukkah took, as I said, 3 years for it to happen, but eventually it does turn into an amazing, amazing Yontif. We are going to celebrate on the level that the Jews celebrated then, plus, and the reason it's going to be plus is because Mashiach is going to end all suffering forever. So, very happy and miraculous Hanukkah to all of you, and a good Erev Shabbos Parshas Vayeshev.